Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Hey everyone, great to have you with us today. If you're new here, maybe watching for the first time, or maybe you've joined us since lockdown began and we've never met face to face, then I just want to say an extra special welcome to you as well. If you've stumbled across our online service today, then thank you for hanging around. Why didn't you say hello in the comments? We'd love to meet you. My name is Chris, and along with my wife Anna, we're part of the leadership team at One Church, and we're the pastors of One Church Keynsham. Now, I may be slightly biased, but I would say it's the greatest church gathering since time began. Absolutely love Keynsham and just all the fantastic and amazing people who make up our community. And our heart as a church is to grow you to live big. And we do that by helping you to encounter God, to help you grow in your relationship with God and with others, and then to go and make a difference in your world as well. And so it's really simple. We call it Encounter, Grow, Go. Really easy to remember. And we just wanna help you to live big in your life. Now, today I am super excited to be launching our brand new series, Shipwrecked. And I just want you to turn to somebody in your house, anybody in your house right now, and just say, wreck the ship. Wreck the ship. And I want you to type it in the comments as well. Everyone just type quickly in the comments now, wreck the ship. There's a great verse that I want to share with you. It's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. I got another verse after this I want to share as well, but it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I absolutely love this passage. I love the Bible, but I love this passage. It says that we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses that are cheering us on, but that, and it says that God has a life for us, a purpose for us, a race marked out for us. But if we're to run this race, if we're going to live in our purpose, then there are some things that we need to get rid of. There are some things in our lives that we need to throw off, things that can easily entangle us, trip us up, slow us down. Things that are not so important, but things that can stop you from running and living in the best that God has for you, being who He called you to be and doing what He has called you to do. Another verse in Acts chapter 27 says this: now I urge you, keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Now this is another great passage, another great story about Paul, who is in a storm. And this storm has lasted for weeks. They are really up against it. They have thrown things overboard. They've got rid of the cargo. They're doing everything that they can to try and save the ship. But Paul says in this verse that he's heard from God. And actually what we need to do is we need to let go of the ship if we're gonna get to safety. If we stay here, if we stay on the ship, we're gonna drown. And we gotta let go of this if we're gonna get to where we need to be. Have you ever been on a ship that you thought might sink? Every single year when we go on holiday, one of the things we love to do is we love to hire like a self-drive boat. So it's not really a ship, but it is a boat. And what we like to do is we try and go around. We like going to the Greek islands. So we like to go around the island to try and find kind of those hidden gems, those coves that nobody else can get to, cars can't get to. And you kind of find these beaches that you can have for yourself for the whole day. And just one of those things that we love to do. But this one year was like no other year. As we got into the boat and we made our way out of the safety of the cove that we were in, We were heading towards some land that we could see, but a storm broke out, and the waves began to kind of bash the boat from kind of left to right and up and down, and we were kind of going all over the place. The kids were like, they were crying, and they just wanted to go home. They didn't enjoy this trip at all. And no matter how hard we tried, we just couldn't make any headway through the waves. And what we ended up doing is we decided to allow the waves to push us towards another direction that we had not intended to go in. And we just about managed to secure the boats with the anchors, dive off the boats, and we swam to safety on the shore. One Church may be known for many amazing things, but I'm sure one thing we will never be known for is our shipbuilding abilities. So here's a few photos of some of the ships, some of the boats that we attempted to make during our weekend away last year. We had a fantastic weekend away, and it was great fun watching all those guys sink on their homemade boats. But as I was thinking about this message, those images came to my mind, and these verses just help us to understand that sometimes there are things that we can hold on to that are not going to take us to where God wants us to be. And maybe in this series, God is going to speak to you. He's going to show you things in your life that you just need to wreck the ship over. You need to let go of. Because if you stay on it, if you hold on to it, then they have the potential to drown you, to hinder you in moving forward. As you continue in the story of Acts, you see that Paul ends up shipwrecked on an island called Malta. And there's this incredible opportunity for him to share the gospel, and loads of people accept God into their lives, and many people have their lives changed forever as a result of this one opportunity, because Paul had wrecked the ship. He'd let go of the ship. And there are things in our lives that we need to wreck the ship on. And over the next few weeks, we're going to cover just a few of those things. Today, we're going to look at hurts. Next week, we'll be looking at opinions. We're going to talk about disappointments. And then in the last week, we're going to talk about those kind of secondary spiritual issues. So all of those will begin to make sense as we go through this series. But ultimately, we want to help you to understand that there are sometimes things that we hold on to, that there are ships that lead us away from the best that God has for us. And today we're speaking about wrecking the ship of hurt in our lives. I imagine that we've all been hurt at times in our lives. Things people have said to us, things people have done to us, or those closest to us maybe. Someone somewhere has or is going to say something that is deeply unfair to you. Or they may even do something that is deeply hurtful toward you. Someone will let you down. Someone is going to wound you, either intentionally or unintentionally. Someone you've done so much for is not going to reciprocate the same level of friendship or support. Someone is going to offend you, anger you, upset you. And when we hold on to hurt, and when that hurt is unresolved in our lives, it leads us to a place of bitterness. And bitterness is not the ship that you want to be sailing on. It is not going to lead you to the horizon of God's purpose in your life. You know when bitterness is set in because you can't seem to stop thinking about it in your mind, talking about it, going over and over, what they did, what they said, how unfair it was. Even just their name can begin to cause feelings of anxiety and anger and hurt to well up within us, and they can be like a poison to our soul. Maybe even you start thinking about revenge and what you can do to bring them down, or to defend yourself, or to justify yourself. Or sometimes it can actually leave you feeling like you just want to give up on it all. Anna and I have walked through this with friends, this journey of bitterness, having been mistreated, misrepresented, misunderstood, and it is painful. But bitterness extends hurt. It does not solve our hurt. So I want to share a few thoughts with you today, quickly from the Bible, on dealing with hurt. Because if we have unresolved hurt, it will lead us to the ship of bitterness. And if we don't wreck that ship quickly, then it could drown us. And so a couple of verses I've found that are really helpful for this. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, where we were just a moment, just a little bit further on in the verse, it says this. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. There's another verse in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32, and it says this. It says, be kind to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. If you want to know how to wreck the ship of hurt, you need to find freedom through the power of forgiveness. The Bible tells us to forgive others as we have been forgiven. It's helpful at times of bitterness to think about Jesus. It helps give us a different perspective sometimes on our hurt. Jesus, who was mistreated, unjustly punished, criticized unfairly, betrayed even by his closest friends, crucified on a cross. His response to that hurt was this. He prayed these very words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Before all of this happens, before we get to the crucifixion, Jesus is actually praying in a garden, at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays this amazing prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, and you find it in the book of Luke, chapter 4, 11, verse 4. And it says this, part of the prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. This helps so much to put into perspective the hurts that I can carry at times. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't hurt. Of course they do. But if Jesus, strengthened by God, could forgive those who mistreated him, then perhaps I, strengthened by God, may be able to forgive those who have hurt me. This thing that they did, this thing that they said, this thing that has happened to me is not worth drowning over. It's not worth wasting another day of my life over, heading in the wrong direction. God, help me to wreck the ship of bitterness, to find forgiveness, and to forgive as I have been forgiven by you. I love that Jesus died for our forgiveness. The Bible says that the punishment that Jesus had on the cross, that was the punishment for the sin of the world. It was for all the things that you and I have done wrong, all the ways that we have hurt and offended God. And I wonder if you've ever accepted the forgiveness of God. So quickly, what is forgiveness? I think forgiveness is shifting your focus from the one who hurt you to the one who can heal you. Forgiveness is taking the burden that you cannot carry and handing it to Jesus to carry. Forgiveness is giving up control of the outcome. Forgiveness is making but not keeping a record of wrongs. Forgiveness is opening the door for their repentance and your reconciliation. Forgiveness is choosing health for your body and your soul. In other words, today's anger is not a problem, but yesterday's anger is a problem. So if that's what forgiveness is, I think it's also important to understand what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not denying or pretending that something didn't happen. Forgiveness is not covering up some kind of crime. Forgiveness is not based on another person's repentance or apology. Forgiveness isn't trust. Forgiveness is free in a moment, but trust is earned over time. Forgiveness is not coming to agreement. Forgiveness isn't often public either. The other person may not even know anything about it. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing. It's a repetitional kind of process that we go through of consistently and continually forgiving others. Forgiveness is not even reconciliation. Forgiveness opens the door for reconciliation, but you are not able to make somebody reconcile with you. One person can bring forgiveness to a relationship, but it takes two people to bring reconciliation. You are responsible for forgiving others because Christ has forgiven you. But you cannot bring reconciliation to a relationship if the other person doesn't want to make peace with you. And lastly, forgiveness is not a feeling. There's this other great record in the Bible of a conversation between the disciples and Jesus, and they're asking Jesus how many times should they forgive someone if that person continues to do wrong to them. And they're actually overwhelmed by Jesus' response because he says they should keep on forgiving them. And suddenly they felt like that was not possible, what Jesus was asking. And so they asked Jesus to help them, and they said, Jesus, please help us to feel like forgiving these people. No, they didn't. That's not what they said. That's wrong. This is what they actually said. They said, Jesus, then increase our faith. Forgiveness is a product of faith, not of feeling. The disciples weren't asking to feel like it. The disciples were asking for the faith to do it. And Jesus responds beautifully by saying this. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, why does Jesus use a mulberry tree in this illustration? Well, it's because this tree was famous for its deep roots, its hardened roots, its well-established root system. This tree, it was supposed to be that this tree could stand in the earth for 600 years. To uproot this tree would be virtually impossible. To replant it in the ocean bed, that would be even more impossible. But faith in God surmounts all impossibilities. Perhaps even now you're thinking of things that happened maybe even years ago, maybe even as a child. And this hurt is well established in you like a mulberry tree. Faith brings freedom through forgiveness. And Jesus reminds us it only takes just a small amount of faith to be able to find freedom through forgiveness. Now, we don't have time to go into more details on this today, but I just want to quickly share as we close now two practical things that you can do to help you find freedom through faith for forgiveness. And the first one is this, and we've talked about this already. I want you to ask God to forgive you. If you've never done this before, if you've never accepted God's forgiveness in your life, and if you want to know how to do this, then there's going to be a link in the comments, and I want you to follow that link. It's going to take you to a page on the internet that says, that's called Saying Yes to Jesus. You can pop your details in there, and someone on our team are going to contact you to talk to you about what it means to be a Christian, and they're going to help you on that journey to accept God into your life and to accept the forgiveness that he gives. The second practical thing I want to help you with today is I want to encourage you to write a letter of forgiveness to the person who hurt you. Now, you never need to send this letter, okay? You don't actually physically post this. This isn't something they are going to see. It's a private thing. But I want you to write in that letter everything they said to hurt you and to offend you and to anger you and all of those feelings that you have toward them. I want you to express it. Write it down in that letter. And then I want you to pray over the letter. And I want you to ask God to strengthen you by his Spirit to let go of this pain and this hurt, to to remove this deep-rooted bitterness. God, help me to wreck the ship of hurt and walk away from this moment onwards into a life of freedom and a life of forgiveness. Father God, we just thank you today for this message and this encouragement. God, that by faith we are able to receive forgiveness from you, but God, we are also able to extend forgiveness even when it seems impossible. And so, Father God, I pray for every single person today that may be experiencing hurt and bitterness. Maybe today they've realized they're on a ship going in a wrong direction. And God, I want to pray that you help them today to wreck that ship, that they might be able to get off that ship, let go of that hurt, let go of that pain, and move towards the plans and the purposes that you have for them, to be all that you've called them to be, and to do all that you have called them to do. So Father God, strengthen us today. God, help us to process our hurt in the right way. Help us to leave our hurt and our pain with you, Father God, that we may walk free from that pain, that we may walk free from the poison of bitterness. And Lord Father God, I pray where possible that relationships can be reconciled. God, and that you can be glorified in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.